we do this for. No, but I don't know if y'all heard what the topic was, but I can't say the title yet because I haven't yet, like, you know, I'm not gonna spoil it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people will get the gist when they watch it. I hope so. But no, like, we're all in here at least 2 years in, if not three, mm-hmm. in our second semester, and it's just kind of like, I have to ask y'all, what have y'all gained? Not like any accomplishments, not any like organizations you joined or places, like, but what have you gained? Like, I guess characteristically, like, what's different from the 18-year-old you versus you now? Like, what's like, different?
Like, a lot of growth within myself, I could definitely say. Like, I look back on the person I was in high school, and I am just in awe. Like, I think about the mindset that I had when I was in high school, and I'm like, girl, why was that even a thing? Why were you even worried about that? My confidence is, like, through the roof. I can definitely say since, like, starting at Clark, my confidence has skyrocketed. Like,
period.
I'm right here, baby. I'm up here now. Like, I could be at my worst and you still can't tell me anything because I know at the end of the day, honey, you can't tell me nothing, period. So I could definitely say, like, who I am in myself has definitely, it's not up there.
Ooh, I like that answer.
I can definitely agree with Yasmeen. Who I was in high school versus who I am today, even who I was when I first stepped foot on campus freshman year, totally different person. Like, I know when I was younger, I used to have a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-confidence issues. Like, if I saw an opportunity that I wanted, I wouldn't apply. If I saw a scholarship that I knew I needed, I wouldn't apply. But y'all, like, so much has changed. Like, last week, I applied to 6 different internships in one day. So, hopefully I get one of them. But
you
like,
get one of them.
I got it.
Yes,
you gonna get all of them.
Right, all of them. Choices.
There we go.
Choices.
There we go. I need the options. But yeah, like, I've grown like that. And also my work ethic too. Like, I know in high school, I used to procrastinate like nobody's business. I would wait maybe 30 minutes till assignment was due to do it. But slowly but surely, I'm working there to better myself. I'm, you know, I got a planner in my, putting my work out and everything. So that's a couple of ways that I've grown as a person.
I guess for me, it's kind of been a double-edged sword. I will say since high school, I've become a lot more guarded, which can be a good and bad thing. Like, I don't want to have to be, but there are people, you know, sometimes that don't have you in their best interest, in your best interest. So I have to protect my energy and protect myself from those people. However, I will say that I've gained more perseverance and determination through it. I find myself doing things for myself, doing things not for other people, not to prove people wrong necessarily. While that's been a great motive, but making sure that I do it for myself, because at the end of the day, like, if I don't enjoy it, then who's going to enjoy it for me? There is no one, right? So, yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword for me.
I have no clue.
I guess for me, it was different. Like, the environment I came from in high school, I was the token. I was the, you know. So I was, like, kind of, like, I fit into the respectability factor. And I decided, like, okay, I'm leaving. Like, fuck this town, fuck this school. Like, I really don't have to do this anymore. And when I came to school, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, everybody got their hair all slit back and down. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. We don't have to do that here, y'all, wait a minute. But some people really insisted, they were very trained to just look a certain way, have their makeup always done, have dressed a certain way. Like, I saw people, I hate to say it, like, I just saw people dress a certain way. And I was like, wait a minute. We all gotta dress like this? We all gotta dress like this every day? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed the fact that I could dress up and things like that, because I love fashion from ever since high school, stuff like that. But I feel like for me, it was kind of like, I realized that, like, just because I stopped, I guess I stopped doing certain things, it didn't make a difference really. Like, no one was watching me. I always felt like, oh, in high school, people were watching me. Like, if I do something, like, that's gonna be a response every single time. I realized that, like, you know, it doesn't have to be a response. No one's gonna respond to you. No one's gonna, like, make you feel weird for doing what you wanna do, because everybody's doing what they wanna do in their own space. And I had to realize that, like, that's really what college is. That's really what being an adult is. Everyone's doing what they, the best they can for themselves in their own space. And I had to realize that that's okay. And I guess the security in that, because, you know, like, I was just a token. And the Black people that I were around, they were Caribbean, they were African. They didn't like me because I was American or I was from the South. So, like, they didn't, they just thought I was like the rest of the white kids. I was like, not really. And then when I came, I was like, okay, cool. Okay, cool. So, like, no one's really watching. So, kind of the paranoia went down of just the, I guess, the external judgment. And then I was like, well, cool. Everyone else here is Black. So, like, I really don't have a problem. I don't really have a problem. Like, I can do really, like, what's best for me. And I feel like either way, somebody will support it. I have to really trust the fact that what I choose to do and how I am, as long as it doesn't harm anyone, is fine. Like, it's okay.
I would say that my change is definitely not positive, but kind of positive. I think after this year of being, like, in college, I definitely have learned that I need to figure out how to set boundaries and not feel guilty about it. I need to learn how to prioritize, you know, how I feel in certain situations, because I do like to keep the peace and I like to appease, you know, people in general with any space or any situation that I'm in, because I always want the energy to be good and I don't ever want to contribute to some nasty negative energy. That's just not who I am. But I think last year I dealt with a lot personally, and, like, you know, unearthing childhood trauma and just realizing things that, you know, I did as far as family were very much reflecting my relationships with, you know, the outside world or other people. So really just figuring out, okay, how do I say this is what I need, this is what I want, and this is, you know, why I'm in this situation or whatever the case may be, and have other people respect it. And if you don't respect it, then I have to go. Like, I'm very much a, y'all know, I don't hold my mouth like that, but no, it, or you, or people would think that, but 9 times out of 10, like, I am keeping certain things to myself, or I may not say certain things because I want everything to be cool. And I think that I have to realize that it's not fair to internalize all that for myself, because when I do blow up, it just becomes entirely too much. And it's like, I'm too old for that. Like, we can't just be popping off at the mouth and doing all that at this point in my life. I just feel like it's time to, you know, be on the big girl. Yeah, that's
I love that. Honestly, I really do love that, because it's just, I don't know, like, what you said is very much so, like, it needs to be heard, because some people probably in that same position where, like, and I've heard it from other people, like my peers, people that I associate with and things like that, who have said certain things along those lines. And, you know, honestly, like, I feel for people like that, because you want to be vocal, but you don't want to step on toes, or you don't want to be a bitch. And as women, especially Black women, that's so hard to do, because even if you say, like, hey, I don't like that, why are you so aggressive? Like, wait a minute, I just said I didn't like something. That's not aggressive. I just said I didn't like it, and I don't like it. You know, and it's really tricky. When you have people that look like you that also kind of will throw that back at you, like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you so mad? And it's like, and I think I talked to my boyfriend about this. I said, people don't realize that you can sit here and turn all the cheeks you want to turn, but when you stop speaking and stop saying things, they think that you can just keep doing it, and that you can keep doing it, and that they just they think they take it the signs as you allowing them to just do whatever you're letting them do, and it's like at a certain point you gotta be like, no, you're not finna keep sitting here doing me like this. Like, you're not finna keep embarrassing me. I don't care if you're embarrassed. You shouldn't have done this in the first place. It has to come to a point where it's just like, embarrassment is kind of out the, you know, like, you didn't think about me. Why should I think about you? I'm letting you know how I feel. Like, all bets are off at this point. You crossed the boundaries. You've been disrespectful. Like, I have a right to respond and say, I just don't want to take this. And it's not being disruptive. It's just being honest. And some people don't like honesty. That's really what it is.
I agree. So I have a follow-up question then. So how do you guys deal with the gaslighting then? Because, you know, a lot of people, yes, because, you know, I've been in that same situation with Kiana, and like Kiana, I should say, and like, people gaslight you and try to like invalidate your feelings as if you're not able to feel how you're feeling in that moment. So I guess, how do you guys challenge the gaslighting that comes after you address
it's even more amplified for me, because I champion Black women. I go very much hard for Black women. Everything I do is for Black women, that's just period. I tend to surround myself with Black women. That's just period. That's where I feel comfortable. I just love being in spaces with other Black girls. But part of that is, you know, you're not gonna like everybody. You're not gonna get along with everybody. You may clash with people. And, you know, unfortunately for me, that will mean clashing with another Black girl. And, you know, that does make me feel bad. And I think I have been in situations with other people where they also make me feel bad and say, well, you're supposed to be miss listen to Black women, blah, 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 and you coming at me. And it's just like, further, which is why I said before, I you know, comfortable with it and not feel guilty, because, you know, I do tend to be like
soundstripe.
Yeah, and that's right. Like, I can't champion Black women and just want to say to you, because you disrespected me, then, you know, you don't really care. So why do I then have to carry all this baggage and this weight on myself? Like, it's a lot. It is. I have a right to feel how I feel. I have a right to, you know, say how I feel. And if the other person attempts to gaslight me or attempts to make me feel bad for that, then I just know that this person really is not considering me as a human being and doesn't really care about how to go. And that's the thing.
If we're being so honest, like, me personally, I don't know how to gracefully deal with gaslighting. Like, I'm still in the process of learning. I'm gonna tell y'all a little story. And this basically set the tone of my 2020, and it basically taught me, like, you can't rock with everybody, and everybody can't rock with you, and that's just, it is what it is. So basically, I was kicking it with some friends from high school. They didn't go off to school, which is fine. You know, everybody has their own paths and school isn't for everybody, but they were still kind of stuck in their ways as if we were still in high school. You know, we graduated in 2018. It's 2020. We've been out of high school for a minute. So that was already like a red flag. But basically, we kicking it or whatever. And one of the dudes I went to high school with, he calls me a bitch. And I'm like, okay, you know what? We went to high school with each other. We knew each other for a cool minute, but we ain't ever been that cool. So don't ever feel that comfortable to where you can call me out of my name. Mind y'all, anybody that knows me knows I'm already a little hostile, but in this situation, I promise y'all, I was so calm. I was like, do not do that. Do not call me out of my name. My name is Yasmeen, and you know that. Ain't never been that cool. So I don't know why you thought you could step outside of yourself and do that. So he think I'm playing, and I'm like, no, I'm so serious. So he calls me a bitch again. I'm like, mind you, it's not just him and I in the room. It's hella other people. It's like three other dudes and then like four other women in there. So I'm looking around. I'm like, who are you talking to? Like, do not call me out of my name. I don't know what the excuse me, I don't know what you thought this was, but this ain't that. Like, do not do that. Mind y'all, I'm still pretty cool. I'm still pretty level-headed. I'm really proud of myself at this point, because if it would have been 2016, probably would have already been fighting. Mind you, this is a whole man. He hella buff. I'm like, okay, if we gotta fight, we gotta do that. But anyway, we're going back and forth. I'm like, do not call me out of my name. Like, I don't know who you thought this was. I'm not your girlfriend. I'm not one of these random ass girls off the street. Even if I was a random ass girl off your street, you don't know me, so don't ever disrespect me. Like, I don't know what you thought this was. We keep going back and forth. He calls me a bitch again. Things start to escalate. Him and I are going back and forth. We're arguing, drinks get thrown. But what really blew me about the situation is, okay, I'm a woman. I'm arguing with this black man. There are two other black men in here, and nobody had anything to say. Now, granted, I don't need nobody to defend me, but one, what you're not gonna do, you're not gonna come at me like I need to calm down, and he is the one that is talking out of his side of the neck, disrespecting me, and then y'all not gonna say nothing to him. And he's talking about how he finna put his hands on me, he finna do this, this, and that, and I'm like, okay. Black men! Black men, because y'all love to be on Twitter and on social media, like, y'all love black women, y'all protect black women. But in that situation, I was like, you know what? This is exactly what we're talking about, because nobody was there to defend me. And it's like, okay, granted, I personally feel like I can hold my own, but as somebody to be in that situation, if I was a man and I saw a woman being disrespected, whether I knew you or not, whether I considered you a sister, whether I considered you a friend, whatever, I would never just sit there and let somebody blatantly be disrespected, gaslighted, the whole nine. And I'm like, yeah, I just cannot mess with y'all no more. Like, I can't kick it with y'all, because we don't hold the same values. We don't understand respect the same. Y'all don't know what gaslighting is, number one. So y'all didn't understand what he was doing to me in that situation. So yeah, 2020 taught me, like, you can't kick it with everybody, because no. But I said all of that to say, like, I don't know how to respectfully deal with gaslighting. Like, that's something that I'm still trying to learn, because in that situation, I was ready to throw down with him in the street. Like, I was a man too. So if y'all got some tips for me, let me know, because...
See, I thought y'all would have some tips for me, because the main reason why I asked is because... and I'm sure you guys can relate, like, at least on this journey of self-progression and self-discovery, that's what keeps coming up, the gaslighting. Like, every time you try to correct an old habit, or you try to stick up for yourself in a way that you usually haven't before, you always get faced with gaslighting, whether it be from past friends, sometimes from parents, unfortunately. Like, it's a pattern that keeps coming up and has continued to keep coming up, at least during my college career. And it's just like, goodness, whatever it.
You just gotta be firm in it. Like, as crazy as it is, you just have to, I'm learning that you just have to be so firm in whatever it is that you feel in your journey, your path, that you just like, girl, you know what? You don't even deserve none of that. So I'm going to let you have it over there. And that's just what it is. Like, I've been in so many situations similar to Yasmin's story. Like, girl, I just because I am also that, not, I don't care if girl, boy, I don't care. You disrespect me. You want to go there? We can go there. But as, you know, growing and understanding that that's not how it should be, you really just have to be like, you know what? I see you for what you are, and I see how you move, and I see what you're willing to do when you are in a hostile situation. So we don't even need to, you don't deserve my energy at all. So I'm not gonna give it to you. You gotta be selective, because child, people will suck you dry.
No, they will.
They really will.
And take you to jail.
Ooh.
You will go to jail. You will go to jail behind these people. I'm trying to tell you, you just gotta.
Look, I ain't gonna be one of the orders behind nobody, because honestly, I'm gonna tell y'all, y'all probably never seen this on me ever, because it's been so pushed down. But I used to be the type of person in high school. I dealt with white people, and so the gaslighting was abundant. It was abundant, and I'm gonna tell you this right now. I would hear someone say something very, like, racist, very not so nice about someone. Mind you, it'd be another person of color, like it'll be an Asian. And honestly, despite what people may think about Asians, like, they're very nice people if you're nice to them. They're the type of people, respect is earned, not given. But when you come to a place like America where it's entitled and they think they're just supposed to have shit just because, it never correlates. Me, I'm the type of person, like, I was raised to be like, you know, you want respect, you have to be respected. Period. That's just what it is. And so, you know, I treat them nice and like that. And then, of course, I hear someone say something very messed up about this Asian woman. And mind you, being a woman is not the easiest thing ever. It's just... So I hear this young man, because I think he was younger than us, say something about her. And I was like, hey, like, be careful. And, you know, don't say that. That's not nice. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, that's a racial slur. Like, you cannot call Asian people Oriental. That's not, like, good. Like, that's equivalent of calling a Black person an N-word with a hard R. Like, just, you don't do that. And he was like, oh, why does it matter? That's what they are. I said, no, you don't do that. And the Asian people behind me, I'm not sure where she was from exactly, which is why I keep saying Asian, because I forgot where she was from exactly, which country. But she was speaking whatever her language was with her friends, and I was just like, they don't like him. That's crazy. And I was like, you shouldn't say that. They're like, oh, what is she going to do? And I said, she could probably report you to the office, and that will be a whole conversation. Because I went to an international school. Mm-hmm. So you can't do things like that without being dealt with or handled. And I don't know, being in spaces where I would just defend or just like someone would say something that's like racist or just off the wall, I would go off on them. And it has been to the point where I have thrown things at, I've thrown shit at folks. I've thrown drinks at people. I was in school, we were wearing uniforms, I didn't care. Like, I would just throw shit at people. Now, how I deal with stuff like that now is that, honestly, you have to make sure that, like Kiana said, like, what you're saying, like, you have to really, really, really be strong in that, because they will question you just because they will just like, oh, she'll know what she's talking about. Like, because they already think you don't know what you're talking about. And they already think that, like, you're just talking just to talk because you're a woman or because you're just whoever. And I hate to say it, you kind of have to really just be very, very, very just... like, you're just not playing with them. Like, you're not joking. Because sometimes they'll laugh in your face, which I've had that happen. And you just can't laugh with them. Like, because sometimes I'm the type of person, when I get mad, I laugh. And it's not the good type of laugh. And let's just gonna leave it there. And usually at that point, we're just blacked out. We blacked out. Yeah. But no, when when I got older and I dealt with people, especially when you're darker, it's gaslighting for another reason. You have to realize that if you find yourself explaining this much to where, like, you having to give them a whole thesis, at that point, all you have to say, excuse me. Sounds right. And I left. Because at that certain point, if after the first time of like, hey, I don't like when you say this, or I don't like when you do that, and they don't say, oh, I'm sorry, or oh, please explain, I didn't mean for it to come off like that, or oh, I don't want to come across like that, they are not trying to understand anything you're saying afterwards. And at that point, you got to just like, you got to take a step out before you just, because we can all transform ourselves back to high school. We will either throw drinks on folks, or we would just cuss people out. Cuss people out in the damn hallways in high school. I didn't care.
I still cuss people out, y'all.
I still cuss people out.
But you know what? I still give it to you.
I'll still cuss you out. I really do. Like, my boyfriend be like, bro, like, is there a day where you not cussing somebody out? I said no, because these folks, I work at Walmart, y'all.
Ooh,
yeah, you gotta say nothing else.
You can stop it right there. Anybody who works in retail?
So I already know, like, I'll come home and be like, I'm not surprised. I'm like, yeah, well, I did it. And I just wouldn't feel no remorse. I would feel no remorse. So, like, I'm still not past, like, not cussing people out. Like, no, I won't. But I won't throw shit at people. I won't throw drinks on people. Like, I won't do the physical stuff. But I will give you a piece of how I'm feeling, because no. But no, like, honestly, it's a journey. I won't say it's a journey. And working retail has taught me that, you know, like, even sometimes you can't say anything, because I hate to say, if people come at you a certain way, and, you know, we too big to be doing the stuff that we be doing, we're too big to be coming, you know, with our approaches, they're not finna get it, and they haven't been ever been corrected at all. Because most people that have been corrected, they pick and choose where they say stuff like that around. Because sometimes some people will say stuff like that and feel like they can try you because you won't do nothing. And then they'll send out some people who were like, who allow that type of behavior. And when you let that be known that you allow that type of behavior, not as if you won't see them no more, or you just like, they will act completely different and restrain themselves because they know you're not playing with them. And that's really just what it is. Like, you really have to realize that some people don't want to get it. They just don't. They will sit there and gaslight you more just so they won't have to understand that you're making perfectly good sense. And it's a fucked up thing. Like, I get mad, but like, they only do it to make you madder and to irritate you. And at that point, you find yourself getting irritated. You're just like, I'm gonna see you later. Probably never. And just block them. Just block them completely. Now, when it comes to like your family or your parents, that's a... I say I always take a 2-week break. Let them call you. I always tell them that. Let them call you. Take a 2-week break from whatever they've got going on over there at the residence. Take a 2-week break. Don't call them. Let them call you. And they'll be like, well, why did you stop calling me? And I'd be like, I tell you why. You did X, Y, and Z, and I'm not really rocking with that. That's not okay. That's not good. Well, both parents get it. It takes time. It takes time. Because me and my mother, we bumped heads over the same type of thing. I would say, I would respond to something, and I would say, like, no, I don't like how you said that. I don't like the fact that you're talking about me like that. Like, you, I know you playing, but you weren't playing. And, you know, it took time, but it took that two-week break rule I followed. She realized that, oh, if I keep doing her like this, she actually will just up and just cut contact with me. And no parent wants to get to that point with their kids if they truly care about their kids. No parent wants to get to that where they're not talking to their children. Because, you know, you enjoy your parents. As much as they get on your nerves, you enjoy your parents. And they do care about you. But you have to, like, break and give time to breathe on what they said or what they did, because, you know, you never want to just go straight to extreme and just cut them off completely, because at the end of the day, you're going to need them. And they're going to need you, whether you like it or not. So I always say, like, take a week and a half, 2-week break. Don't talk to them. Let them call you if they need you for something, if they want to talk to you. Because remember, you're the child, they're damn parent. So they want to talk to you, they need to call you. You know, some black folks, black parents don't get that yet, but you know, you the child. So they supposed to call you and check on you. They took care of you. They brought you into this world. You know, you didn't ask to be here. And sometimes you have to set those boundaries and realize that you didn't ask to be here. They brought you here. That's you're their responsibility until they die. So whatever they need to do to like help this relationship, they need to make sure that they are aware of that. And if they're not aware, you know, it's a trial and error thing. I have some friends who, like, parents are still not aware of how they may not have the same religious preferences anymore or the same type of lifestyle that they wanted them to lead when they became an adult. And they're just easing it in as they go in small doses. That's also a thing as well. It's rough, but it's still, it helps you. Because you don't need to dwell over something and call someone the next week and still have it unpacked what they said to you or what they did to you. Because when you don't unpack, that's when you just explode. And it's just, it never ends well. It never does. And that's just, I take it from a person who had to do that for like a year and a half to 2 years or so. Because I had to do that. Just sit. Not talk to them for like a good 2 weeks or so. They call and be like, what happened? And I tell them. But I wait till I cool down. I'm not angry. I'm not, I guess, yelling. Because people don't like when you yell at them. People don't like when they say, well, you did this and you just say, like, I feel like you were just talking about me. It wasn't positive. And sometimes they'll feel bad because they never want to hear their children be hurt or have their feelings hurt if they truly care about you. That's the key part. If they truly care about you. Some parents don't care. And when you realize that, it's gonna hurt. But, and also when you realize some parents are just stuck in their ways and they feel as though that you don't have full autonomy over your existence, that hurts as well. And you have to kind of take that for what it is. And that's when you decide on how you want to continue to deal with that relationship, really. Because I've sat with those choices, and it's a balancing game. It's a balancing game. It's nothing set in stone at all when it comes to your parents. When it comes to these folks out here that ain't your, yeah, no, turn up on them folks. Fuck, turn up on them folks at all by means, because you have, it's warranted. It's warranted completely. Turn up on these folks. They ain't your family. They ain't your blood. Like, no, turn up on these folks. Like, you ain't finna see them no more. No way. Just go and do what you need to do. But at the same time, if it's your family, like, that's gonna take some work. And you don't wanna, like, get rid of no family at all, because that's all you got at the end of the day.
Can you give me some of your patience? Because, child.
I definitely would. Me and my mom have been quarantined in this house since March, basically since we left. Like, I haven't really been going anywhere or doing anything because my mom works in medical, so she understands how, like, how COVID is very, very, very serious, and she takes it 100,000% serious. But also, too, because, you know, she's older and, you know, we want to make sure that we're safe and we're keeping everybody else safe and all of that. And I'll tell you, I love my mama. I love her dearly. That is my best friend in the whole world. My mom raised me by herself. But baby, we clashed. We clashed one time really bad, to the point where she was upset. Okay, I'll tell you what happened. So I was working on an article. I had a deadline that was due 11:59. And I had to, you know, I was working, like, researching and in active, you know, pursuit of finishing the deadline. And so she called me from, she was on her way to work, and she needed me to do something in that moment. And I was like, okay, I got you. But she was on her own thing. Okay, I'm going to finish the sentence, and then I'll go do what she needed to do. But unfortunately, she got home before I was able to do it. So when she got home, she had this whole big attitude, and she was upset. She was like, I don't understand, because I've been at work all day. And also, my mom's in the military, and a lot of my family is from, you know, military, has a military background. So they don't really understand journalism. They don't understand content creation. And I don't want to say that they don't take it as seriously, but, like, you know, I had to explain to my Nana what I do as, like, the lady on the TV that she sees every morning on the news. Like, she was like, oh, okay. Like, that's what it was. So, like, we had to have that conversation. When I did start talking to her again, because I didn't talk to her for a good 24 hours because I was upset, and you know, it came from a place of, like, you wasn't doing anything anyway, or you wasn't doing anything that was that important. Like, you should have just stopped what you was doing and do what I wanted you to do. And from that point, I just felt like, okay, I really don't have anything to say. Like, I told her, I was like, I don't have anything to say to you right now because you clearly are not hearing me. You don't see my side at all, so I have anything to say. And so she basically took that as an attitude, and child, Southern Black mama, she like, oh, so you got an attitude? So you wanna walk around my house with an attitude, stomping like somebody stole your bike? And so that was the whole thing. And we eventually had, like, a real conversation, and I told her, I was like, listen, I love you, and I truly do, but you have to understand that I'm not a kid anymore. Like, I have grown emotions, I have grown feelings, and I have grown shit that I'm doing. Sorry, I just cussed, child. No, but anyway, I have grown things that, you know, I'm trying to do. Okay, period. I didn't know if this was PG.
No, this is,
but yeah, we had to really have that conversation, and it was very difficult. Like, she was receptive, but I was definitely like, "Who, girl, do I need to dodge a shoe?" Like, I was definitely on the other side of the room, because
I didn't want no issues. But
no, it was definitely very difficult. Like, I can't lie. But I just had to put my foot down and really be like, this is how I felt, and I understand your side, but my feelings matter in this situation too. And with Black parents, they don't always understand that. They think that the issue happens, they yell at you about the issue, and it's over. No, girl, I'm still upset. Like, I still have things that I didn't get to express, and I have issues that I'm still sitting with right now with you. So I'm good, but we have to really, as we're growing up, we have to really be real with our parents and also be respectful, but be real and be like, listen, I am not going to just let you just say, do whatever. Like, I have feelings as well, and I want to be treated this way, not only as a child, but just as a human being. So,
right.
And don't feel guilty about it either. That's another, on other things, y'all, because they will make you.
Yeah, I know. I grew up with an only mom in my house, and so I know a lot of Black parents, and speaking Black moms specifically, they will, you know, you can get into it with them, and you know, not speak, and then 2 hours, an hour later, they'll come back and be like, "You hungry? Let's go eat." Or go to Target with me. Like, no, we're not gonna sit up here and act like what just happened didn't happen. Like, my feelings are still very much hurt. So when I was younger, I just, you know, would just go along with it, like, yeah, okay, let's go, whatever. But now I'm like, no, I don't like what you said to me. This is not, you know, I didn't like what you did here. Let's talk about it, let's talk it out. And so I know a lot of Black moms, they think that when their kids express their feelings or they have an opinion, it's back talk. Like, no, it's not that. I have something to say, you're gonna hear it, and very respectfully. But I think they take, like, the same, like, my mom, she very much has anger issues. That's where I get them from. So but you know, she's a better person now. And so it's like, you can't just sit up here yelling at somebody, and then when there's home, you know, raises just a little bit, oh, now you're yelling at me, you're talking back. Like, no, I'm matching your energy, sis. So I, you know, we have to just learn, now that I'm older, how to speak to my mom respectfully, but also voice my opinion in a way that she'll understand where I'm coming from, how I feel. And then me too, as the child in the situation, learning and understanding, okay, yeah, this is what she's going through. That's why she reacted like that. Let's find a way to fix it. And I mean, it's been working so far. So yeah, that's what I gotta say about that.
Yeah, I can, my thing is, I've realized as I've gotten older that my parents are only parenting me because that's all they know. Like, they're doing it in this way because that's what they're used to, that's what they've grown up with. They don't know about therapy, they don't know about, like, you know, let's actually, like, talk to my child as a human being. I'm gonna say sorry because I was, you know, wrong this moment. They don't know that. They just know I'm gonna tickle them, or I'm gonna just give them food as my way of saying sorry. So I've really had to, like, kind of empathize with my parents and just be patient with them, because they're also trying to cater to their inner child while I'm catering to mine too. And that might not come off in the way that, in a receptive way for the both of us. But there have been times in which I'm like, oh, I need to just step away. Growing up, I had my little diary. I used to journal all the time. And sometimes it is irritating when parents just seem to not listen, like, truly listen to you. But I will say, with patience and because of this quarantine, my parents have become more comfortable with me being more vocal about how I feel. And I noticed they actually respect me for it, right? Like, it shows them that I'm mature enough to have an adult conversation, and they're less likely to speak to me as if I'm a child, you know, because I think that's the main issue, right? Our parents still see us as children, and they think they could just, like, you know, when we're in the middle of a Zoom meeting, hey, can you clean this? Mom, I'm in school, I'm in a class, I can't really. And when you have those sit down conversations with them and be really, like Kiana was saying, just be really like, not strict per se, but be passionate about what, you know, you're doing and how you're changing into adult, they start to take you more seriously.
To Grayson's point, like, yes, parents are doing the best. We're all, in general, we're all doing the best that we can with what we have. But parents really don't understand how they project whatever energy they have onto you. Like, if they feel bad, or if they're having a bad day, or if, you know, they're upset about something, they will then make you feel upset about this very minute issue. Like my mom, like the very small thing, because she had a bad day and she was upset. Now you're coming home, now my day is bad. Like, people, they don't understand how they play a role in our energy. And it's like, 1,000% I feel you, because that's where I'm at right now and have been for months, that like, I gotta go, baby. I love you, but if I had the resources, see you, sis. Like,
just out of here and just chit-chatting with me about life.
I feel so honored.
I know, like, you asked me to be here.
Look, oh, me?
because don't even do that.
Kiana is a mess, bro.